47 years ago, right? I believe it was 47 years ago. Chavches Ir, Yerushalayim was once again in the hands of Acheinu Bnei Yisrael after almost 2,000 years of Golos. It's a pretty powerful event. We spell every single day Yerushalayim Ircha. Berachamim Toshu v'Sishkon v'Sirch Hasher Dibarta v'Nei Oisa v'Kadov b'Yamein v'Binyan Olam. It's not a simple thing that the Tfilos of Klal Yisrael for 1,900 years were answered to a very great degree, to a very large degree, 47 years ago on this day, Chav Ches Yir. People that were alive then and aware of what happened. People that I've spoken to were they describe it as the event of their life. It completely transformed them. It was something that they tell people that if you didn't live through it, you have no hasaga. You can't understand. If you're born and it's a big deal, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Kosel, get on a plane, you have no hasaga of what happened, of what it was, the feeling, the emotion, what people live through. People, as they tell people that were not alive then, or too young then to appreciate what happened, that it's impossible to appreciate the miracle, what happened on that day. Now, in honor of Yerushalayim, let's just discuss a few short ideas. First of all, the name Yerushalayim. Where does the name Yerushalayim come from? I'm sure I'm just going to review some of the basic Yesodos, just a refresher course. Where does Yerushalayim come from? Yerushalayim was originally in ancient times two separate cities. It was a city called Sholem. Who was the Melech of Sholem? Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Who Cholein Lekel Elyon. Right away, we learned from the earliest source that it was a holy city. He was a priest. Who was Malki Tzedek Chazal? Tell us, he was Shem Ben Noach. He was in the Teva with Noach and all the animals. And from him came Klal Yisrael. From Yaakov Avinu was a descendant of Shem. And Shem was the Melech. He was Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. He was the king of the priest and the king of the city called Sholem, which was half of what we know today as Yerushalayim. The other half of the city, some want to say it's all the same city, or some want to say it's a different part of the city, there's an upper part, lower part, we're not really clear, is the city called Yireh. What is Yireh? It is the location of the Akedah. Aharon Avinu offered Yitzhak Avinu as the Akedah on the Mokum HaMikdash. We have a tradition of the place of the Mizbech, the place of the Evin Shesia, wherever it was. And after the Akedah, Hashem said, the Malach said to Avram, Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, you are Yirei Shemayim. And Avram Avinu, he then called the place Yireh. And it was a bakasha that Hashem should appear. Hashem Yeroeh, may Hashem appear. So there's a very popular medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at a later point in time, decided he wanted to rest his Shechina in this location. It was not etched in stone until a much later point in time where would be the permanent resting place of the Shechina until a much later point in time. Hashem decided it's going to be this makom, the place of Sholem. It's going to be the place of where Avraham Avinu offered Yitzhak on the Akedah. But Hashem had a dilemma. What should we call it? Should we call it Sholem, that an Ish Tzadik Avraham would be insulted because he gave it his own name? If we were to call it the word Yireh, Hashem should appear on this location, then or Yeroeh, then a person, an Ish Tzadik Shem Noach Malki Tzedek, he would be insulted because he already gave her name. So Hashem made a pshara. What was the pshara? He called it Yerushalayim. Now, how does Yerushalayim, putting these two together, how does it solve the problem? The word Yeru is not Yireh. So Olam Mepharshim explained that Yireh is Yud Resh Aleph Hey. Take the last two letters, Aleph Hey, Yireh or Yeroeh, and it's the gematria of Vav. So take, just so the gematria is equivalent to the word itself, so Yud Resh Vav. Yud Resh Vav is Yeru, and then Sholem will keep it the way it is, so it will be converted to Yeru Sholem. That's how we get these two together. Now the next major question is, who came first? the apple, the chicken, or the egg? Who came first? Sholem came first. Malki Tzedek came first. So it should be called Sholem Yeru. That's what it should be called. That would be the proper thing. So all many mefarshim asked this question. The Meshech Chacham asked this question. Other mefarshim asked the question. And the answer, I think, to summarize the answer is, call me Sheyirasai. Koydemes lichachmasai, chachmasai koydemes. Sholem, Sholem represents completeness, but the completeness of Malkit Tzedek was not completeness in Yirah Shemaim. In fact, that was why he was denied Klal Yisrael coming from him, because he made a mistake and he gave a bracha. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem who koyin lekel yon baruch Avram lekel elyon. He put the kavod of a human being before the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who's a Yorei Shamayim naturally puts the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the kavod of a Basar Adam. And therefore, since Chazal tell us Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have Yiras Shamayim, you have nothing. Kol mi she Yirasai kodemes tichachmas. Yira always has to go first. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Many psukim that allude to this idea that it's Hashem's derech Yira. It's Yiru Shalem. Now the next very problematic issue is, why do we call it Yerushalayim? Where did that extra yud get into the word? It should be Yeru Shalem. Shalem. Malkin also Shalem. We want to say Yeru, not Yira, Yira, for whatever reason, but what happened to Shalem? Where did the yud get in? And in fact, you look in Tanakh, 640, I think it's 658 times in Tanakh, if I remember from what I read yesterday, Yerushalayim appears mole with the yud, 11 times. 11 times in Tanakh, I'm sorry, the other way around. 658 times it's choser. It's missing a yud. That's how Yerushalayim is always spelled in Tanakh. And 11 times, mainly in Megillas Esther and Divrei Hayamim, there it's spelled mole with a yud. But so only 11 times it's spelled with a yud, but generally it's spelled without a yud. The reason why it's without a yud, because that's the real way to spell it, Yeru Sholem. But the problem is, why is the pronunciation yud mem yin? Yerushalayim. Where did that yud come into play? So the answer to this is a very beautiful idea. It's the Medrash. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua that he will not enter the Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim Shalmaila, I'm sorry, Yerushalayim Shalmaila, until he first enters Yerushalayim Shalmata. There is a Kabbalistic concept which appears out in the open in many Svarim, that there are two Yerushalayims. There's a Yerushalayim Shalmata, our Yerushalayim, and there is a Yerushalayim Shalmaila. What does that mean exactly? We don't know, but that's what it says. There's a Mizbech Lamaila, Gavriel, Michal, the Sar HaGadol, the Zmakrev Korbanos, in the Beis HaMikdash of the Yerushalayim Shalmaila, and the Yerushalayim Shalmaila directly corresponds to the Yerushalayim Shalmata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of the Churban, he exited the Yerushalayim Shalmata, and he also exited, he removed his Shechina from the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. And he made a shavua. He will not enter the Yerushalayim Shalmaila to rest the Shechina there until he first comes into the Yerushalayim Shalmata. Now, from what do we extract from this mystical, esoteric medrash? There are two Yerushalayims. There's Shalmata and Shalmala, and the Toli Zebezeh, and even in the Olam HaEmes, Hashem refuses to enter the Yerushalayim Shalmaila until they go to the parallel. Therefore, we refer to it not to Yerushalayim, which belongs on Yochid, but to Yerushalayim. Whenever you have a Yud Mem always refers to the plural, Yerushalayim. So when we say Yerushalayim, we're not referring to only Yerushalayim Shalmata. We're referring to Yerushalayim Shalmaila. And we're referring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to go into Yerushalayim Shalmaila until Yerushalayim Shalmata. And certainly on that, this day of Chof Ches Iyar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to say, you can't say not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to some degree, he entered not just Yerushalayim Shalmaila Elmata, Yerushalayim Shalmaila, by allowing Klal Yisrael to once again have in their hands the complete Yerushalayim, to have Shlit of Yerushalayim, to once again have the Kaisel Hamaravi, the Makayim, where the Shechina never left, the Koyach HaTfila, that has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by coming into Yerushalayim Shalmata, to a certain degree, on this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim, has entered Yerushalayim Shalmaila. Okay, now let's go. Now let's go to another idea. Now this is an idea I think this is the interesting idea. I came across this, and I don't know, it's not a full idea, it's a half-baked idea, but I let something to think about. We find in the Torah, or if one is explicit and one is in the Medrash, two times where, as bizarre as it seems, Avraham Avinu made a shavua, a bris, with an enemy, but he will not conquer Yerushalayim until a certain point in time. Now, where is the first point in time? Everyone knows this. Avimelech, right before the Akedah, in Parshas Vayera, right before Avimelech approaches Avraham, and he says to him, let us make a shul. Let me open up the pasuk so I can be more precise. Okay, it's Parshas Vayera, right before the Akedah. Vayomer, I acknowledge that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. He makes the following statement to Avraham. Don't be unfaithful to me, ulenini, ulenechti, to my children, my grandchildren, sometimes to my great-grandchildren, kacheset asher asisi imcha tase imadi v'im'oretz asher garta ba. Vayoymer Avraham anochi yishadeya. He made a shuna. What does the shuna? So Chazal explained to us, the shuna is, he's not going to conquer. It's in the Chazal, the Medrash, maybe even Rashi brings it down here. I didn't look, prepare all that much in the Rashis for this, obviously. No, it doesn't say over here. Okay, but Rashi, the Chazal, make it very clear. He made a shvua. He's not going to conquer Yerushalayim. He's not going to conquer the Mokam HaMikdash until Li, Ulenini, Ulenechti, until four generations. Yerushalayim is off limits. And it's for this reason, Chazal tell us, Yehoshua, during the 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk, they didn't go anywhere near Yerushalayim, even though it was not really clearly known. It was not known until the time of David HaMelech exactly where the final resting place is, but Yehoshua and his generation, it was off limits. Yerushalayim, that look, it wasn't called Yerushalayim at that point in time, but that area, the Yevusi, Shalem, that whole area, was off limits because of the bris was still enforced. There were still descendants of Avimelech living at that time. It's how could they be living so long? But that's what the Chazal said, they were living, they were still on, and therefore it was off limits. He made a shvua. Now why would Avraham make a shvua? What was the purpose of it? It's not really so clear. Okay, that we're not going to focus on. And in fact, someone alerted Vahiyachar HaDvar Mo'ela, some of the many Mepharshim say, maybe it could be the Rabban, Achar, what's Achar HaDvar Mo'ela? The reason why there was an Akedah was because Hashem was angry at Avraham. How dare you? How dare you make a shvua not to conquer Yerushalayim? You don't. So you know what? You don't need a Yitzhak either. You don't want the Eretz Yerushalayim. So what? You don't need a Yitzhak either. Go sacrifice Yitzhak on the Akedah. Okay. So they totally zebezeb. I discovered yesterday for the very first time a fascinating medrash from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. This is a collection of midrashim, and he says something that's shocking. He says there was a second time Avraham made a shvua that he's not going to conquer Yerushalayim. And that is when he purchased the burial plot for Sarah Imenu. He went to Bnei Ches. He went to Bnei Ches and he said, I want to purchase a burial plot. So they gave him a hard time, as we all know. He had to finally pay out Arba Meos Kesef, Shekel Kesef, over La Seicher. And the pasuk here says the Achrei Kain Vayakom Hasade. Let me find the place. Here it is. Vayishmas on this pasuk. On the Pirkei Avos, the Pirkei Chav Gimel pasuk Tezayin. Vayishma Avraham El Efron. Vayishkol Avraham Li Efron Es Hakesef. Asher Dibe Biyos Menechets Arav Miyosh Hakesef Oyvel Asoicher. The Medrash Pirkei Avos on this pasuk says it's Medrash, not explicit in the pasuk. Again, it's only a Medrash that he made a Shavua. Benechets says you could have it one tonight. You're not allowed to conquer Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to conquer Yerushalayim for a whole number of generations. Or less, I don't know the details, unless there's a Haskama, the entire nation of the Yevusim have to be masking. There was a limit. And Avraham, he made a Shavua that his ability to conquer Yerushalayim is off limits until a certain point in time later in history. Fascinating. Two separate oaths Abraham took upon himself due to circumstance not to conquer Yerushalayim. Avimelech, right before the Akedah, Tishkar Li Ulenini Ulenechti, I'm not going to conquer Yerushalayim. And the second time with the Bnei Ches. Ephron, who represented Bnei Ches, their descendants, Yevusi, the Yevusim, are descendants of Bnei Ches. And that's why the field of Aravna, HaYevusi, he was a direct descendant of Ephron Achidi. That's what it says in the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. He was a descendant. Aravna. Aravna was the one who owned the plot of land that David purchased. He was a descendant. And the reason why they had to wait 480 years, almost 480 years, 440 years, think about 440 years, or even a little bit less, 420 years, whatever, to purchase the land was because of these two Shavuos. Okay, those are the two Mamori Chazal. Now, I don't know what this means. I just want to make an observation and I'll leave something to think about. It's fascinating that concerning specifically these two individuals, we find a commentary from none other than Avraham and Avraham and Rivka. What do I mean? There are a lot of things going on in the world at this point in time. Avraham and Sarah or Rivka or the Avos did not necessarily comment and tell us how they felt about society. And Avraham, he traveled the world, Avraham. He went from Aram Naharayim, he went all the way to Eretz Canaan. He saw the world. He saw what he was to see. Did he write a diary and comment and tell us his opinion about this culture? And not necessarily. We don't have any records. Did Sarah, Rivka, Yitzchak, Yaakov give us a commentary on what they thought about the world? No, we don't have very much commentary from them. But there are two comments they made specifically in regard to Avimelech and in regard to Ches. What did Avraham say about Avimelech and his people and his country? Kirak en yiras Elokim b'mokoyim hazeh. Now, Avimelech abducted Sarah and he had to negotiate to get her back because Shmuel who came and told him, return this woman, she's a prophet, Kieshus Navi, who return her. And then he said to Avram, how dare you? You didn't tell me. And Avram said, what should I tell you? When you come to a place, they ask you, this is your wife. She asked me about food and drink. You're asking me about who this woman is? Kirak? I'm telling you, Avimelech, you and your whole country, everything that you represent, Kirak in Yiras Elohim b'mokoyim hazeh. We don't find Avraham commenting about, making such comments about anyone else, any other culture in the world. And there are many cultures, 70 nations. Rak Avimelech. Let's go now to Ches. Ephron, Achiti, Ches. What did Rivka tell Yitzchak about Yaakov? It's time for Yaakov to find the Shidduch. And Esav already married two daughters that were from Ches. And she says to Yitzchak, no more. Katzti b'chayai mipnei b'nos Ches. I detest this nation, these people. Ches. Specifically Ches. Katzti b'chayai. It's a very extreme expression. The Medrash says she spit. There was spit and mucus coming out of her nose, out of her mouth. Very bizarre Medrash describing.
Katzti is gematria 400, which means beyond.
Beyond belief. Beyond limits. The guzma. Katzti b'chayai. I detest. What was so detestable about them? What was so detestable? So Chazal say, bad midos. Midos. Not Yerushalayim. Ideology is a different story. That was the whole reason why Avraham told Eliezer, "You go take a daughter from Canaan, because in Canaan, even though they're Oivdei Avodah Zarah, they have no Yerushalayim. They worship idols. They don't even know from God. They have the midos are good. The midos are good. So ideology we can work with, but midos we can't work with. The people over here, the Benos Ches, was obviously in Chazal's eyes the most important thing in the Shidduch. The most important thing in the Shidduch was midos, character. Ideology we can train you. If Rivka is making a statement that with regard to her son, Katzti b'chayim b'nei Benos Ches, that means the midos are the pits. Doesn't get worse than this. It is specifically with these two nations, Avraham Avinu went out of his way to make a bris with regard to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is, I'm not going to chepah with Yerushalayim because I made a bris with a person who represents the antithesis of Yerushalayim. I'm also going to make a bris with the person who is the antithesis, who represents Ches, the antithesis of Midos Tovos. What is then Halo Dovar? It's obviously something very deep. Ad Hayom Azeh, we have difficulty establishing in this world the MS that it's our Yerushalayim. It's ours. It's our Yerushalayim. There's always friction. There's always impediment. There's always a struggle to the world to recognize. Not everyone is united. Even we have a Yerushalayim temple now. We don't want to chap. We don't want to start up with it. And the United States refused to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital.
Not just the U.S.
The whole world. The whole world. It's a sticking point. What's going on? What's the big deal here already? What's the problem over here? Teretz is ma'isa of osim lebanim. There was a bris. You can't say not. You have to say everything that's happening today is rooted in my son osim lebanim. Avraham made a bris. I'm not going to touch it with Avimelech and with Ches. There's a limit. How do we break out of this bris? The only way to break out of this bris is seemingly, I don't know the exact words and the exact mechanics of how this works is, obviously the problem lies in Yirah Shamayim and Midos Tovos. If only we would work on Yirah Shamayim, improve, raise our degree of Yirah Shamayim, and if only we would raise the degree of Midos Tovos, that would somehow... We're no longer associated with Avimelech. We're no longer connected. When you have a bris, it means you're connected. The words I'm saying don't necessarily fit, but obviously the success of conquering Yerushalayim 100% and acknowledgement that it's our Yerushalayim lies in these two elements of Yirah Shamayim and Midos Tovos. Yeah.
Very, very, very strong what you're saying. Because the Churban of Yerushalayim was because...
Sinas Chinam. Midos. And the Bais Rishon was because of Avodah Zarah.
What was the excuse of the people who Chachamim, Duayim, who are Yerushalayim? We have Yerushalayim, we have to worry about...
The Bais Rishon was because of Yerushalayim, not because of Midos. Avodah Zarah, Gila Raya, Shri Chastamim. The big three.
What you need is a Midos Tovos...
With Yerushalayim. The synthesis...
Yerushalayim itself won't help you, and Midos Tovos...
You need the synthesis. That's really Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents... Shalem represents shame. What did shame do? Shame spent his whole day. Shame was in the teva. They fed the animals. Chesed. They kept the world going. Represents Midos Tovos. That's what the Rashi Chachma really says. This the Rashi Chachma says that what was the essence of shame? The essence of shame was Chesed, because shame was a survivor of the Mabul, and the only way to survive the Mabul, ki hishkas kol basar darko yal haaretz. He was a mensch. In the teva, he was a tzaddik. He supported, he spent his whole day being involved in chesed. Sholem represents the concept of Midos Tovos. Yira represents the concept of Yira Shamayim. But it's rooted, the kitroik is, look at the two treaties that were made with Avimelech and with Ches. With regard to Avimelech, we have a pasuk. With regard to Ches, the Midos. These are the two sticking points that we, forget about the world, that we have to work on ourselves. And when we work on ourselves in these two areas, in the middle of the world will acknowledge that the Yerushalayim belongs to us.
In World War I, a lot of the Hasidic Shalom said that the reason for the Holocaust was to be take the Polish and put them in Galicia and put them in Hungary to mix up the Jews. They should become Achtos. That's what everyone said.
Achtos. Let me just finish up one.
After the Holocaust, you would think that they would come back to America and Jews would love each other.
No.
Okay,
let me just quickly finish up. I want to finish up. Today is also, there's something also very significant about today. Today, besides in Yom HaShoah, it's very Shmuel Navi. Today, there's a tradition that today is the Hilulah, the Petira of Shmuel HaNavi. Now you should be aware, not everyone agrees. There's another tradition that he died not Chof Chesir, Chof Tesir. And there's another tradition that he died Erev Rosh Hashanah, Chof Tes Elul. Or Lamedel. Chof Tes Elul. Chof Tes Elul. And there's another tradition that he died on Tzom Gedalia, Gimel Tishrei. But by and large, we are of the, it's accepted, Messiah, that he died, Shmuel HaNavi died on Chof Ches Ir. Now Shmuel, we have to realize Shmuel, Chazal tell us, was Shokol Keneged Moshe V'Aaron. Shmuel is equal to Chazal, the Pasuk tells me is Shokol Keneged Moshe V'Aaron. When Moshe, you know, Moshe's Yard site is a Yom Tzom, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Aaron's Yard site is on Aleph Aaf, and you're allowed to fast. It's the only two times you're allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh because it's your side. So that's a fascinating thing that means that today Chof Chesir, when you have a Shmuel who is Shokol Keneged Moshe V'Aaron, on the other hand, today is a tremendous celebration. It is the fulfillment of the Bakosh of Klai Yisrael V'Yishalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv. The fulfillment of the Tilos of Klai Yisrael for 1,900 years have been fulfilled on this day. But on the other hand, it's the Petira, the yard site of someone who, in Halacha, we observe their day with a tzom.
But you couldn't go to Nabi Samuel until there was Shechar Yerushalayim.
Oh, so it's something to keep in mind. Now, obviously, there's a very strong connection between the two. First of all, there's a chidah. Chidah is often quoted, it's a very mystical chidah. How do you know this? I have no idea, but the chidah brings some mystical sources that from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Shmuel HaNavi left his mokom in Gan Eden to go in Golos. In Gan Eden, Shmuel has a special mansion in Gan Eden, and the Tsar of all the neshamas in Gan Eden, the one that sensed the Churban the most was Shmuel HaNavi. Why? Because Shmuel was the one. We know the Beis HaMikdash only is synonymous with Malchus. In the Bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha at Tzemach David, in Denshing, Malchus and Yerushalayim are Toli Zebezeh. Who is the one that was Moshech, the two kings, Shaul, and then David, Malchus David, Shmuel. Shmuel was the one that Moshech. Furthermore, who is the one that gave over to David the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash? Hakol b'chsav alai hiskil. According to Chazal, the Medrashim, it was all in participation with Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi is the one who authored the Megillas, the Megillah, which had the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. The one that had the greatest tsar over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, according to the Chidah, is Shmuel HaNavi. And with the Churban, he left his Makom Moshav in Gan Eden to go to a different Makom of Golas. So it's fascinating that on his Yom Hilulah, on his Petira, is the day when Yerushalayim was once again given, restored to our hands.
If you've ever been to Nabi Samuel,
yeah,
they just dug out the last couple of years houses from Tekufa of Bais Rishon.
Yeah.
And they revealed that from Nabi Samuel you can see Har HaBayis.
Ah.
You can actually
see Har HaBayis. It's a long trip.
When the Crusaders would come to Nabi Samuel, they had a whole ceremony, they saw Jerusalem for the first time.
Fascinating.
And if you stand with a binoculars, you can look from Nabi Samuel and you see.
Fascinating. It really fits. It fits into the whole theme. Shmuel HaNavi, right? We have another very, very short idea. Shmuel HaNavi is the one who produced. Shmuel was the son of Hannah. What was Shmuel? Shmuel was a product of Tfilah. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. Chana was an Akara. Chana was like people go to a kever today also. They go to Shmuel, and by Shmuel there's also Chana and Elkanah. They're all there supposedly, right? There's a cave there, and there's a Mayan. They say that's where they went to Mikvah, and that Mayan, they use that Mayan for Mayan Pesach, for Mayan Shalom. It's a big thing, it seems, what I've read about. But today, who is Shmuel? Shmuel is from all the Ishei HaTanach. Shmuel is a product of Tzila. Chana, from Chana we learn all the halachas of Tzila. You have to daven quiet, Shmona Esher, we daven quietly, only your lips move, the voice is not to be heard. A product of Tzila. What is the Kosel HaMaravi? The Kosel HaMaravi is the makom where all the Tzilas go to Shemayim. That's the makom where the Shechina never depart. It is the makom HaTzila that exists from the time of the Mikdash ad Hayom Hazeh. You can't say that it's not it's foolish to say that it's a coincidence that Bidafka on the Petira, the Yom Hilula of Shmuel Hanavi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back the Kaisel Hanaravi. Obviously, Shmuel Hanavi, who is in his essence, is a product of Tefillah. It is his koyach, and it is him who is the one who is Moshech David, Malchus David, is the one that gave over to David the blueprints of the Beis Hamikdash. It is Bedavka, his zuchus, his koyach, that has enhanced us to receive in our generation the Kaisel Hamaravi and Yerushalayim and Mirtz Hashem the Kod of Mamash, the coming of Mashiach b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen.
Until 67,
you went to Kever David on the roof. Everyone went there for Eila Rengel because that was the closest spot you could see Harabayas from the Valley of the Lions.
Okay.